Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 396. Last week, I was a little short with you all. I was sick, and this week, not really different. Still sick. In fact, I found out I have pneumonia. So, without any further delay, we'll get into this episode. But first, I guess I will have a couple delays. Sorry. We're going to just quickly remind you that if you're listening to this on Sunday when it comes out or Monday morning, then at the time of recording this, I likely don't have pneumonia anymore, right? Assuming the antibiotics go well. We have a presentation that's going to be happening on Monday, May 27th at Mount Zion Chapter in Atlanta, Georgia. The Word. We're going to get started probably around 6:30, 7 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, I'll be at Gate City number 2 in Atlanta, Georgia, doing Colonial Freemasonry. And then I'm home for a day and a half, and then I fly out to Madison, Ohio for Lakeshore Lodge number 307 to do a presentation there as well. And, of course, then is EsotericCon coming up in the middle of June. It's going to be awesome. And then, of course, after that, South Pasadena Masonic Con. It's also going to be a really great event. Then Camp Masonry in Ohio in August, and gosh, so many great things are happening with Masonic education. I love it, guys. And I love it because while I enjoy Masonic education and started this podcast as a way to educate myself in Freemasonry, and hey, I might as well read these out loud if I'm going to read these papers, right? Other people then can tune in and dig on the topic as well. So that's what we did, and it's reached a lot of people, and they now feel like we have this massive community that I've been able to kind of find myself embedded in. And it's like whether you're a lodge education officer in the middle of rural Idaho, or you're in Chicago at some very black tie tuxedo lodge, it's just been an incredible way, this podcast, to be able to find other guys in education. And for that, I'm really thankful. But also, many educator people in lodges are LEOs, our lodge education officers, our district education officers, state education officers. If you've got education in your title, like, high five to you. So it's been able, though, to get this show out there. And so many people then will, like, listen to the show. We've got 2 million people who listen to this program. Some are Masons, some aren't, some are curious, and I'm sure we've got some haters out there, too. Why they would listen, I don't know. But as we talk about the stuff that happens in Freemasonry all around the United States, we kind of feed on each other, and we hear about, you know, Masonic Con and Attleboro, and then here comes Texas Masonic Con, and then there was the South Pasadena and the Mid-Atlantic EsotericCon, and all these great cons that are happening all over the place, and they all feed on each other, and this is great, because this is what we need Freemasonry to really focus on, is the education. And so I just love it. And I guess that's all I'm going to say about that. And thanks to everybody who makes this program possible through the multifaceted ways of donating, because you are a part of making all of this massive web of Masonic education possible. And really what we want to do is, when a man types Freemasonry into his internet browser, don't we want him to see what we're about as in education? Yes, we're a lot of other things, but education is really the reason for the craft. So if we can get people to understand why Freemasonry is here in the first place, then when they go to lodges, they have an expectation, and then those lodges have to meet that expectation. So let's think about that. Anyway, this week's paper, I'm only going to read one. It's England's Greatest Contribution to Colonial Freemasonry. It's by Dr. Stephen R. Greenberg, published in Volume 16 of the Illinois Lodge of Research. It appears on page 4, so we'll get into that right after this. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Bankers Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Bankers Best Beard and Skincare. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Bankers Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruart, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out.
A century prior to the formal appearance of Freemasonry in the American colonies, Massachusetts was in the throes of the birth of freedom. The first colonial settlement was established in 1620 at Plymouth, where a small group of English pilgrims seeking religious freedom had arrived on board a vessel named the Mayflower. They were joined by the Puritans at Salem in 1628 under the leadership of John Endicott, and in Boston under John Winthrop in 1630. The Puritans brought with them a royal charter which granted to the newly created Massachusetts Bay Colony a utopian experiment to be executed on the shores of this new world, a commencement of a democratic government. In this setting, the colony quickly blossomed into an area of great enterprise. The Massachusetts Bay Company secured a grant from the Council of New England with the assistance of John Endicott to acquire land extending from the Charles River westward to the Pacific Ocean. For an interval of 30 years until 1660, the colony was free for the domination of England. Although the ruling monarchs endeavored to assert their authority, the citizens of Massachusetts held steadfast to the freedom. In 1684, a new charter was issued by Britain which placed all of New England into the ruling hand of Sir Edmund Andros, who already held the office of Governor of New York and New Jersey, proving himself to be a despot of the highest degree. Andros destroyed the entire fabric of representative authority in Massachusetts. The intolerable conditions existing within the colony led ultimately to an armed insurrection in April of 1689. Andros was compelled by the patriots to surrender, restoring to the citizens of the colony their basic rights of freedom. This hard-earned freedom, however, did not persist, for in 1691, Massachusetts was made a royal colony, bound to the mother country under the control of an appointed governor, chosen by the crown. The colonies, which had appeared by 1700, were not entirely democratic, although the general government was permitted and the requirement that every voter by a church member was abolished. Tension, however, continued to exist between the colony and England. Though exact time nor date is assigned to the formal inception of Freemasonry in North America, it would appear that fraternal roots were planted in the soil of the New World within the early reaches of the 18th century. The first lodge convening irregularly was referred to as occasional lodges. They possessed neither charter nor warrant of any kind. They met in the absence of any organized grand lodge. Within this primordial framework, Freemasonry in this young land was undeveloped and untried. There was no precise direction to anything undertaken by these new brethren. The most careful examination of existing records indicates that the very first Masonic lodge that assembled with anything other than mere tradition was King Chapel Lodge, meeting irregularly in Boston, 1720. It was 7 years before any recognized accounts of activities within the bounds of the craft were published in Boston. This was in 1727, in a city now recognized as the cradle of American Freemasonry. Taking note of the foundation of American Freemasonry, the Grand Lodge of England, under the rule of the Duke of Norfolk, issued on June 5, 1730, a deputation for the provincial Grand Master for New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania to serve a period of 2 years. Daniel Cox was named to this post, but there is no evidence that this deputation was ever exercised. In the absence of any central direction, the first lodge to hold regular meetings was instituted in Philadelphia in 1730. An account published in the Philadelphia Gazette on December 8, 1730, alludes to this body as St. John's Lodge, the lodge to which Benjamin Franklin would soon become a member. The accelerated fraternal pace in North America prompted the appointment of Henry Price, who would soon establish his mark on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean by forming the first provincial Grand Lodge in Boston. At this juncture, let us briefly explore the background of Henry Cox, deemed the founder of duly constituted Freemasonry in America. The only knowledge relevant to his early life was that found engraved upon an ancient gravestone marking his burial site in an old cemetery that stood until 1888 in Townsend, Massachusetts, near the border with New Hampshire. Henry Price was born in London about 1697, but there is little else that is known about his early years, saving a brief account appearing in the minutes of Grand Lodge of England in 1730. Here is written that he was a member of Lodge No. 75, meeting in the Rainbow Coffee House in London. By 1723, Price had already begun to distinguish himself within his own lodge and was soon to attract the attention of the Grand Lodge officials during this same year. He traveled to Boston. While residing in the city, he received the deputation appointing him as the Grand Master of Masons in New England. In 1733, Henry Price returned to London, where, on April 30th of that year, he received a formal appointment as Provincial Grand Master of New England from Lord Viscount Montagu, the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of England. At some time before July 30th, 1733, he returned to Boston, where he would remain for the rest of his life. Interestingly, however, Price wrote on August 6th, 1755, to the Grand Master of England, quote, "I have some remote thoughts of once more seeing London with all my brethren in the Grand Lodge after 22 years' absence," end quote. The Grand Lodge of England, as a token of its regard for him, bestowed upon Henry Price the jurisdiction over the whole of the continent of North America. The first exercise of his granted powers in provincial matters occurred when Price appointed Benjamin Franklin to the office of Provincial Grand Master of the Province of Pennsylvania on February 21, 1734. By the close of that first half of the 18th century, not less than 40 lodges had been authorized. Under the leadership of Henry Price, acting under his deputation, authority was granted for the establishment of a duly constituted Freemasonry in New England in 1733, in all of North America in 1734, and in South America, 1735. Returning again to his years in Boston, it is known that Henry Price received an appointment by Governor Jonathan Belcher in 1733 as cornet in his troop of guards with the rank of major, a title which he carried with him throughout the remainder of his life. Even after his death, when in 1792 his executors referred to him as Major Price, his military uniform was that of standard bearer in the governor's troop of cavalry. Special privileges and high respect were additional favors of this office. In 1736, Henry Price entered into the tailoring business in Boston in partnership with Francis Bottillier, who was also closely associated with him in Freemasonry. In 1739, they relinquished the tailoring business, and the partnership was dissolved in 1741. Over these years, Price managed to acquire of a good deal of wealth and had purchased some valuable properties within the confines of Boston. In 1737, he became engaged to Mary Townsend, the 17-year-old daughter of Samuel Townsend, a wealthy landowner. Her uncle James Townsend, now her guardian after the death of her father and strict Puritan, objected strongly to her marriage to Price, who was an Episcopalian. His opposition, however, failed to prevent the nuptials, which occurred in the fall of 1737. A daughter, Mary, was born during the following year. In 1746, Price purchased a piece of developed land in Cambridge, now Arlington, Massachusetts. He made his summer home on the estate situated on the highway from Lexington to Concord, over which, at future time, British troops would march to burn homes and stores. Records indicated that on April 12, 1751, Price offered the use of his home for the celebration of the feast of St. John the Baptist. This offer was accepted, but when the day arrived, the feast was held instead at another home in Cambridge because the Price home was, quote-unquote, encumbered by sickness. It is believed that his wife, Mary, was ill and that she died soon afterward. Henry Price often preached sermons on feast days of St. John. Such action as these highlighted the influence he exerted in the face of the common feeling in Boston of hostility against those who adhered to the religion of the prayer book. After he retired from business, Price was often alluded to in his writs and deeds as a gentleman, suggesting that he no longer followed any calling. He remarried for a second time in 1755 in Cambridge, now as a wealthy landowner, and continued to reside in the same city. He was devastated in 1760 by the death of his second wife, followed 1 month later by the death of his only daughter on October 8th of 1760. Moving later to Townsend, Henry Price continued to reside until his own demise 20 years later. During his last years, he served on many town committees and became one of the community's leading citizens. On September 17, 1771, Price remarried for a third time. His new wife, Lydia Randall, was a widow with a young son. Of his third marriage, two offspring were born, Mary and Rebecca, both of whom survived their father. When the Revolutionary War began, Henry Price was too old to be a participant, but his loyalty to America was never questioned. On May 14, 1780, while engaged in rail splitting, the axe he was using slipped from his grasp, striking him in the abdomen, inflicting a severe wound from which he succumbed 6 days later. He left this world at the age of 83 years, leaving behind a substantial estate and unblemished record of civil and fraternal service. He was never able to see the country of his origin once more. During his long tenure in America, Henry Price never deviated in the support of his beloved Masonry. He served at intervals from his first appointment in 1737 as a provincial Grand Master until 1768. At intervening periods, he served as the Charter Master of the Master's Lodge as well as the Master of the First and Second Masonic Lodges in Boston. He presided over the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts on April 30, 1773, in the absence of the Grand Master, John Rowe. Despite his advancing years, Price attended Grand Lodge meetings until January of 1774. This moving account of service and accomplishment may best be concluded with the words of Shakespeare in Act I of King Henry V. Quote, "The singing mason building roofs of gold," end quote. Well, there you have a really interesting look at Henry Price. You know, I talk about Henry Price a lot in the colonial Masonic presentation that I do, and one thing I never really talk about is how old he was when he started a lot of the Masonry in and around the time of the American Revolution. Now, a couple items within the paper that I just thought were interesting are, number one, it references this fact that not much Masonry is happening before the 18th century, and we know that Jewish settlers actually brought quite a bit of Masonry over before this. And then if you want to get into the whole Tower of Rhode Island, that kind of thing, there's a lot more evidence to suggest that somebody practicing the mystical art was here and doing great things. There's also a great pamphlet there by Manly P. Hall and its Mysticism in Colonial America, which I found fascinating. You could pick that up at the Philosophical Research Society's website or just by walking through the doors and going into the bookshop and picking it up. It's right there on the wall, and I think it's about $8, so check that out. A couple other things in the paper interesting to me. At 40 years old, a little older than 40, he marries a 17-year-old, and the only objection is that he's an Episcopalian. I think that is quite interesting considering modern day standards, right? This is applying modern day, quote unquote, moral ethics to the previous years. The man had three wives over his life, lost everything, lost all of his kids except the last two. And how tragic. And then in 80 years old, splitting logs, and you die in such a weird way that your axe head falls off and strikes your stomach. Good grief. In any case, a true father of Freemasonry here in America. If you ever visit, again, the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts, portraits of Price are everywhere. It's pretty amazing.
Hello, Whence Came You fans. This is Brother Joe Martinez from Manassas, Virginia. Your illustrious host, Brother Robert Johnson, has allowed me to take a few seconds of his program to remind you about our very special event, the inaugural Mid-Atlantic EsoterCon, which will be held on June 15, 2019 at Manassas Lodge No. 182 in Manassas, Virginia. This all-day event will include both tiled and untiled presentations from many of your favorite esoteric authors and speakers, to include John T. Ruark, Frater O., Greg Kaminsky, P.D. Newman, Pierce Vaughn, Jamie Lamb, Don McAndrews, and your very own Robert Johnson. Vendors will include the ever-popular Masonic Revival and Ascended Masters clothing. Lunch will be catered, with coffee and snacks available throughout the entire day. For more information, visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/MAEsotericon. If you're looking for a more introspective, thought-provoking, and deeply engaging way to start your summer, look no further than the Mid-Atlantic EsoterCon. And as always, thank you to my dear brother, Robert Johnson, for this time to promote what will certainly be an event to remember.
And I just want to say thanks again to Brother Joe Martinez for putting this all together. You know, the event is sold out, all of it. So really looking forward to going. If it's sold out, why do I play the ad? Well, because I don't want you to forget. I want you to stay stoked and excited for it. And maybe I want to make you mad that it is sold out and you want to start something and do something similar. The point is, we want to promote Masonic education, get these conferences going, and you know, eventually, this how will we know this was all successful? And that is when we no longer have these large conventions, other than to bring people together. And the reason will be because they're not needed. Because at every single Masonic meeting, we're teaching something. Because if we're truly about education, we should have more meetings with educational content than we do for business or degrees, period. So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. I know I enjoyed reading this paper and kind of getting back into the swing of things as I'm on the mend. Just a reminder, if you're listening to this on Sunday, tomorrow I will be in Atlanta, Georgia, at Mount Zion Chapter number 16, and I'll be doing a presentation on the Word, which is the Quantum Lectures Series Part 2, and that's the one where we dive into some mythos as well as some quantum physics. It's fun. It's not scary. It's a pretty great time. May 28th, Gate City Lodge number 2 in Atlanta, Georgia also. I'm going to be there doing Colonial Freemasonry. So we'll talk a little bit about the stuff we talked about in this particular episode, but in greater detail. And, of course, June 15th, the EsoterCon. So looking forward to seeing everybody out there at these various events and meetings. Before I leave you, I do want to once more invite you to go to wcypodcast.com, our website, click on more, and you can see the various ways that you can help support this program, whether that's through Banker's Best and using the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout. Brother Levi Banker has got an array of products that really are wonderful. They're handcrafted by him, by a Mason, right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in America, and he makes all this stuff, and it's not just for Masons, right? Not everything is Mason-themed, so go ahead, check out what he's got to offer. Use that promo code. You'll get a percentage off, and a little bit comes back to help this show out. We also have our newest affiliate. It's Franklin's Fortune. This is a game that I play with my sons, and we all love it. A brother, Shane Newell, came up with this brand new board game, and he spent years testing it so that it can't be broken, and it's a really great game. Essentially, it's about Franklin's virtues, and you have to be successful in life, and you are successful in life by gathering certain cards and sterling silver pieces that
put it all together, and at the end of the game, whoever has the most points wins. But you can only get the most points by doing the right thing. It doesn't work if you just go after the money. You have to get these virtues like patience, and you have to overcome things like doubt. It's a really fun card game, and it says for ages 14 and up, but again, my 10-year-old and I love to play, and we've slowly turned my 12-year-old onto it as well. That's right, I can get my 12-year-old to play Franklin's Fortune and step away from Fortnite. So if that interests you, go on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on more, click on Franklin's Fortune, read a little bit about it if you like, and then just click that button that says click here, buy it now. Use a promo code WCY, and you're going to get $5 off your order. It's not five per game, but it's $5 off your order, and you're going to be supporting this show, that's supporting your brother, and supporting good virtues. So two thumbs up for you. And of course, there are ways to directly impact this show with our direct donations, whether that's monthly or a one-time donation. All of that is appreciated. We also have our On It sponsorship, which is essentially, you've heard me talk about Alpha Brain and Hemp Force Protein, which are two amazing things I can't recommend enough. Use a promo code there too, WCY, at your checkout. You'll get 10% off. I think that's it, guys. So I just want to say thanks again. Thanks for listening to these, I guess they're ads, but they're not meant to be. They're just cool ways to support the show, and you can get something great too. So thanks again, especially to our people out there who just donate month after month. And they do it because they're producers of this program. So you guys are all awesome. If you want to know who's a producer, maybe you could figure it out. Click on more. Click on the producers, previously the donor wall. And, you know, check out the names there. These are all people who continually give back to this program. And these are guys who really are about that Masonic education. So many thanks again. I hope you all have an exquisite week. I'll see you in Atlanta, Georgia. And then again, it's Ohio at Lake Shore. Next Friday, Saturday, I think. So check it out. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.